Hi, Year 11s. I just wanted to talk you through the strategies for answering paper two. Okay, so you go into the exam and you find your source paper. First thing you want to do is identify the titles of the two sources, highlight the words in those titles that you think are pointing towards what the common topic is. Okay, so they're going to be different perspectives and ideas, non-fiction, but they're going to be on the same topic. Normally they're opposing ideas, but we can't guarantee that. Once you've done that and you've figured out, right, I'm going to be learning, reading and writing today about extreme sports or capital punishment or votes for women. Once you've figured that out, you're going to open up and you're going to have a look at your question ones. You're going to have your question one opened next to your source A so that you can see the statements as you are reading. Okay, and then you are going to read through source A, just the first chunk, however much you need, and you're going to go through and figure out that question one really quickly. Okay, so that's just your true or false. Remember, you're just going to colour in, shade in the boxes that you think are true, the true statements. You only have four. Then what you're going to do is you're going to move away from answering questions and just focus on reading for a bit. Because for this question, for this paper, in fact, it's important that you identify the viewpoints and the perspectives of the writers. You're going to need it for questions 2, 3, and 4, and you're going to have to emulate it in question 5. So you're going to need to have to copy their techniques and come up with your own viewpoint. That's what that means. So read through source A. It's probably going to be the easier of the two sources. It's normally source B that is the older source. Read through source A, and at the bottom, once you finish reading it, just bullet point your ideas about what you think they're trying to say. Doesn't have to be full sentences. It could be just one word. Maybe they're excited, maybe they're fearful. Whatever it is, just what you think their attitude is about whatever that common topic is that you decided. And then read source B and do the same. So come up with the attitude that you think they've had overall on the topic. Okay. So in one of the example papers that we've done on capital punishment, you had one source where it was someone who was kind of horrified at the way that they'd set up it, everything for a public hanging. And then you had another source where they were talking about how what a good deterrent it is from crime and how many lives it saves by having this capital punishment. So they're normally, as I said, they're normally different opinions on the same topic. So you read through the source and you identify, if you can, three opinions. Three is kind of our perfect magic number in English at the moment. And you do that for both sources, so you have a good idea of what they're talking about and what angle they're talking about the chosen topic. Then you're going to go to question two, and it will ask you for something. It will ask you to write a summary of either the similarities or the differences on a particular aspect. So you want to highlight that aspect, make sure you focus on that aspect, and just find some comparisons between the two. So if going back to this capital punishment, the first source was horrified whilst the second source thought that it was a necessary evil, and you find quotes, short quotes, just they can just be words to back that up and make an inference from those quotes. Okay, and you want to do that 2 or 3 times. Again, if you're really struggling at the bottom of those sources where you bullet pointed ideas or attitudes, those are probably going to come in handy for at least one of your ideas, or if you're really stuck, you can use those. Question three then will look and focus on source B. It will ask you for a particular part of the text, very much like that language paper one where you have your question two, and it's focusing on the writer's craft. It's focusing on their choice, their language. And it will ask you for, again, a particular feature. Maybe it's the way that they present their excitement or their opinion on X, Y, and Z. So you highlight those keywords that you need in the question and you draw a box around the part of the text that you're going to be looking in. Don't look anywhere else because it's pointless. You can't get marks for it. And you work your way through question three. This is worth 12 marks, so slightly more. you would ideally have three paragraphs, sort of fairly basic, making a point about their language choice, their method, finding a quote, and explaining how that links into what they were trying to show the reader, okay, which is whatever they've asked you in the question. Don't get stuck down on questions 2 and 3. Remember, question 2 is worth 8 marks. It's next to nothing in the scheme of these 2 whole papers. You know, each paper is 80 marks each. That's 160 marks. Don't go flapping on question 2, okay, because it's not really where a lot of marks are going to be held. Same with question 3. You don't want to have spent more than half an hour in this section of the paper. Question 4 then asks you to compare perspectives. And from this, you're really building on questions 2 and 3. So question 2 will give you, after doing question 2, you will have an idea of the perspectives. You've summarised them. And question 3, you will have an idea on the methods because you've discussed those and analysed them in some depth. And you have to bring that together for question 4. So it's a comparison. So you want to make a statement about a similarity or difference. Okay, in another example of another past paper we've been doing, we've been looking at two people's attitudes towards this extreme sport of climbing. And you can have, if it's comparison, it doesn't have to be differences, it can be similarities. So it might be that both writers express the great physical challenge of what they're doing. However, source A does this through violent adjectives, and find a couple of those. Source B, on the other hand, uses juxtaposition, and find a couple of examples of those. Okay, and link that all the time to what they've asked you in the question. Those key points in the question have to be highlighted. Now, keep an eye on the time, because you don't really want to be spending longer than sort of 50, 55 minutes on section A. I know it's harder, but remember, it's worth the same as section B. So section B, your question 5. Now, I know I've told some of you to go straight in there and start with section B, and that's really down to you, okay? I feel like it's the strategy that might work for some people that have really don't keep track of time. I had some year 10s today come in and tell me after their mock this afternoon that they realised that it was 10 minutes to the end of the exam when they turned to question 5. And really, that is a fatal error in when your GCSE actually comes. It's worth a quarter of your whole GCSE on one question. So make sure you give yourself a good 45 minutes to an hour. Now, this is looking at assessment objectives 5 and 6, and I talked a little bit about these in a podcast I did last week. Plan this answer. Don't just jump into it, because as skilled as you might think that you are, you need, part of that time is built in for you to think about what you're going to say. That time when you've got those morons with their heads on the desk at the end because they say that they've finished, that time should have been that 10 minutes coming up with a really good way to give your perspective on a similar theme to something you've just read. It needs to be well organized and impressive. So the marks, a lot of the marks, the content marks, and even the spelling, punctuation and grammar, that's really what we're looking at here. And you get that through using impressive techniques. The example you've got in your purple books that you got on achievement evening, it's got, you should spend 45 minutes on this section of the paper, and the it says school uniforms are a pointless expense. They are never worn correctly, very true in the case of our academy. They're uncomfortable and they restrict pupils' creativity. Write a letter to your head teacher in which you persuade them to agree with your point of view on this statement. Right, first thing you do there is you identify the purpose, the audience and the format. If you do these things wrong, you will look like a bit of a silly clown, because that clue, if you are skipping through that key piece of information, you're instantly going to make your marker think, well, this guy can't even read instructions. So they're naturally going to have a bias against you. That's what we want to avoid. We want to make people naturally want to give you the marks. They want to be on your side. So in this instance, it's a letter. So you want to start formally. Dear sir, madam. If you know head teacher. Dear Mrs. Lee. Okay, perfect format. Remember, don't get bogged down on presentation. So if you get an article, you're not expected to write where you've got to create your own columns going down the page. Okay, that's just bizarre. We don't care about the layout in that sense. What we care about is, are you using things like signing off yours sincerely or yours faithfully for a letter? Or if your letter is to your sister, are you signing off love, you know, your closest sister? In fact, I wrote a letter to my sister today, randomly. And I signed it off, a bit of a joke, really. And I signed it off, your loving older sister, always and forever. And then my name, very cheesy. But you need to acknowledge who it is, who your audience is, because that's going to affect how you talk to them. If you're trying to persuade parents, for example, you might want to adapt your examples to be shocking incident of a 6-year-old innocent child, so that all the parents are there swooning, thinking, oh no, not my poor Johnny. Okay, so as soon as you know your audience, you've kind of you've got an advantage, because you can play to them. You can choose the emotive language that's going to interest them. Okay, you can, if you're writing a letter to your head teacher about school uniforms being pointless, you don't want to be saying things like, I hate this school, it's crap, it's rubbish, why do we have to wear stupid uniforms? Because you're not trying to like rally together a bunch of angry teenagers. You're trying to sound formal and reasonable. And persuasive in that manner. So it's really important that you acknowledge your audience. Obviously, the format, this is something that I think we really need to revise. And this is where you can do this yourself. You can go on BBC Bite Size. You can go through these, the English language, English AQA course books that we gave you all. Because it will talk you through how to write an informative text and how that's different to an entertaining text. And how that in turn is different to an argumentative text. Remember, if you're writing an argument, you need to include that level of a counter-argument that wouldn't necessarily be there if you're just being persuasive. Okay? So these are things that you need to be doing in your own revision. Stick with what it is that your opinion is. Okay? And even when you're doing a counter-argument, make sure that you then point out the weaknesses of that argument. I'll go through and do a separate podcast at a later date on arguing and persuading, because I think that's something that we actually really need to work on, and it's something that's really easy to work on from home, because otherwise you get into lesson and I say, okay, practice writing a speech, and I'm not teaching you anything, so it's something you can do at home. Marks there are for technical accuracy. Are you structuring things in paragraphs for emphasis? Maybe having that short, snappy sentence. Those are things that really you should be second nature to now. Okay, rhetorical questions, etc. The Forrest Pitt techniques. If you can't remember them, write them out. Google them when you stop listening to this podcast and write them out in your homework planner. Okay, or on your wall. Something that you can see, so that naturally you know that A stands for alliteration or anecdote. If you don't know what an anecdote is, help. Okay, that's all really. I just wanted to wish you luck and hope that you take my advice and tune in later in the week for some more top tips. Bye!